Now let's read in the Word of God, continuing with our sermons in Elisha the prophet, and if you would turn once again to 2 Kings and beginning to read in chapter 7. 2 book of Kings, chapter 7, and we're going to read the whole of that chapter. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1, and this comes in the light of the siege of Samaria in the preceding chapter, you remember. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And Elisha said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall on to the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called on to the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them on to Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make a window in heaven, might such a thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Amen. May the Lord bless that portion of his word. Now this morning, as we continue our sermons in the life of Elisha the prophet, we come to another of these passages of the Word of God where we have an actual and a historical incident being set down in record for us, but also where there are those things that are very suggestive of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The incident in question, of course, concerns the method that God now employs for the relief of the city of Samaria, which has just been besieged by King Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, in the previous chapter. And those scenes, you remember, that we looked at last time in our time together. So we said then, you remember, those scenes that are set down in record for us there concerning the weeks and the months when the city of Samaria was under siege must be amongst some of the most vivid and the most harrowing of all the scenes of the Word of God that are presented to us on the pages of the Scriptures. And out of those scenes, of course, many, many lessons to our hearts and our souls concerning the depth that human nature can sink to, where the circumstances seem to be just so, where man, woman, is taken beyond the pale, as you might say, into those regions where there is total heartlessness or total helplessness, as the case might be displayed. Now, there were three main lessons, really, that we concentrated on or that we drew out of those preceding scenes. And the lessons you remember were these. First of all, a lesson in unproductive repentance, and then a lesson in unwavering faith, and then a lesson in unrelenting skepticism. The lesson in unproductive repentance, of course, is drawn out of the behavior of King Jehoram, who was the king of Israel, within the walls of the city of Samaria at that time. You remember that man who was so sorry for the circumstances that had arisen, but in fact was in no way sorry for that sin, which very easily could have been connected with those circumstances that had now come upon the people. He had entered into some kind of a religious outward repentance, some kind of a remorse for the situation that he now found himself in, but there was no real repentance towards God, against whom all sin is ultimately committed in our life. And then the lesson of unwavering faith, of course, that comes to be displayed in Elisha the prophet himself and those other men who were with him in the city of Samaria, and perhaps others that aren't mentioned, and who, although they also were in the midst of those circumstances, affected by the circumstances in one way, yet in another way, remained unaffected as they were able to keep calm in the midst of everything that had come upon them. And then the final lesson, the lesson in unrelenting skepticism, that which was indulged in by that man who was one of the lords of the city of Samaria, that man who, when he heard Elisha promising that by that time tomorrow a measure of fine flour would be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel within the gates of the city of Samaria, that man then who rose up in absolute skepticism, scoffing at the word of God that God had pronounced through Elisha the prophet. And of course, it's that we came to again, once again this morning, in those first couple of verses of our reading in chapter 7. Then Elisha said, this is after the king has come, you remember, to take his head off his shoulders. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And Elisha said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes and shalt not eat thereof. Unrelenting skepticism against the word of God, which of course is going to bring unrelenting judgment from the hand of the Lord against that very man. And as we saw, of course, that was absolutely the case, as that word was absolutely fulfilled. We read again in the last few verses of chapter 7, and the Lord then worked his will. Now then, in the rest of the chapter then, what you have, of course, is that relief of the city of Samaria and how God did that, how God then brought the relief, how he brought his word to pass so that a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and so on. And it's that then, very simply, that we come to look at this morning. As far as the actual details are concerned, the narrative of events, very factual, straightforward, as so much of the Word of God is to our soul. Outside the walls of that beleaguered city of Samaria, there were four leprous men, we're told. Four men who were lepers, four men who suffered from that terrible disease of leprosy. And of course, on account of that, they were banned from the city of Samaria. That's why they were outside the walls trying to get a living in whatever way they could. Now, like the majority of the people inside the walls of Samaria, these men had come to the point of no return. They were starving to death. And so, as we would say today, they got their heads together to work out what would be the best course of action to take. And as they sized up the situation that they find themselves in, then the first conclusion they come to is this: what's the point of us just sitting here outside the walls of Samaria? And then in verse 4 it says, if we say we will enter into the city, well, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. Now you see their reasoning. They say, look, in the first place, what's the point in sitting here? Because if we sit here, we're only going to die. Now they say, if we try to get into the city, and of course they would have been barred from the city, but even if we could get into the city, they say, things are no better in the city. We'll die in the city. Well, they say, let's go and let's cast ourselves on the clemency and the mercy of the Syrians. If they kill us, we but die. And if they save us alive, then we live. Now you see the straits that they're in. But they come to the only conclusion that they can possibly come to. If we stay here, we die. If we go into Samaria, we die. Let's go to the Syrians and cast in our lot there. If they kill us, well, we die. If they save us alive, perhaps they will, then we will live. And so we're told then, in verse 5, that they rise up then in the twilight and they go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they come to the camp of the Syrians, there's not a soul in sight. Their horses are there, their tents are there. It's abounding with food. Their equipment is there. Everything is there intact for them. And what has happened, of course, is this. Word of God tells us in verse 6, it says, For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. The Lord had made those men to hear the rumble of chariot wheels, though there were no chariot wheels. He had heard caused them to hear the thud of horses' hoofs and the clang of metal of swords. He had caused them to hear, and in their panic, they had risen up. They had left everything behind them. And so the four men, of course, sit down, and they enjoy such a banquetous feast, my friends, such as they had probably never before enjoyed in their life. And they're eating and drinking and rejoicing indeed. And then, in the midst of it all, a tremendous thought comes into their hearts and minds. What about the others? What about our fellow countrymen in the city of Samaria, in that beleaguered city? And so the rest of the events, of course, we simply read in the rest of the chapter. That very night, at that very hour, they come, they waken up the porter of the city. He in turn wakens up the king. He in turn wakens up all the citizens. And the people go out and they spoil the tents of the Syrians. That is, they simply take out everything that they need out of the tents of the Syrians. And so in verse 16, then you have what you would call the historian's note, because God used men, of course, to write his inspired scripture. So it says there, so it came to be. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. God had pronounced that there would be such a thing, that relief, deliverance, salvation, if you like, would come to that city of Samaria by that time tomorrow. And God worked his work to bring that word to pass. And so it came to be that a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and so on within the gates of that city. God had performed all things necessary to bring the pronouncement of his word to pass through Elisha, his prophet. Now, as I've said, it is an incident, actual, historical. It happened, it took place. The word of God is full of historical events to our hearts and our souls. However, there are all of those things that we take into our understanding as applications with an eye to the everlasting gospel that God has granted us to know and to enjoy. Very simply then, going to look at something spiritual and practical out of the whole incident as that which is suggestive of the gospel of Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, 3 main points. First of all, something about the procuring and providing of the gospel. And then something about the discovery and distributing of the gospel. And then something about the receiving or the rejecting of the gospel. 3 very broad points. But I trust there will be that which will instruct our hearts and our minds. First of all then, just to think a little about the procuring and the providing of the gospel that saves our souls, that God has granted in order that we might be delivered from all our sins and the condemnation of our sins forever and evermore. Now, as we'll see in a little while, in those 4 men, my friends, seated in their terrible straits outside the walls of the city of Samaria that day, you have a tremendous picture of man in his sin and under the consequences of his sin before the God with whom we have to do. You see their words. If we sit here, they say, we die. And then they say, if we go back into Samaria, we die. They account themselves as dead men. They are under the sentence of death. They see absolutely nothing before their hearts and before their minds but the death that is looming up inevitably for them and that lies before them. Now, in the Word of God, no clearer picture of men and women in their natural fallen state before God than being under the sentence of death. In fact, being dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he made alive, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And there's not a clearer picture, my friends, of how we stand before God, each and every one of us by nature and practice, as being dead men and under the death sentence. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But then, when those men then rise up and they go forth to seek out what seems to be the only possible hope for saving them from that sentence of death that they're under, then by way of illustration, application, got another tremendous aspect of the gospel, do you not, my friends? Why sit we here, they say, until we die? Blessed thought, blessed query that comes into their mind. What are we doing here, just sitting here, ready for death to come and lay its cold hand upon us? And so they rose up and they took the only possible alternative of hope that they could see. They went into the camp of the Syrians. And there, of course, they found that which meant that they didn't die at all. In fact, far from it, they entered into an abundance.